Whether it's a wedding like Ron and Dawn just had, or it's the men's retreat, there's a witness going forth. Amen? And I'm proud of you, Lighthouse, that you live for the Lord outside of here. Because how many knows that's where it matters? We're together, we enjoy, but we're the same when we leave here. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's awesome. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to continue on this cost of discipleship, the spiritual warfare. You're still in a battle today. You're still in a war. And there are pieces of armament that God gives us that prepare us. Now, a lot of times when you've heard about the armor, that sometimes we've done this. Father, I put on the helmet, I put on the breastplate, I put on this, I put on this. And we can go through mouthing the words. But it's more than just that. It's an actual experience you have with God, like the belt of truth. I'm putting truth on as a belt. How many of you see the difference? I got the breastplate of righteousness. That means I'm living righteous. It's protecting my vital organs. Everybody following that? Because we can go through the prayer and look like we're putting the pieces on, but it's more than that. It's living our faith out. These are examples of what it's like and what it covers and protects. So how many want to keep truth on and cinch it all up? We need that truth. It's like that belt that holds it. How many want to have a right relationship with the Lord? It covers the vital areas. As we get into this farther, look at verse 14. And having shod, or having your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice that there are armaments or areas that we have military shoes. We have a preparation. When you see this, there's a preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you're going to go into battle, how many want your feet protected? Yes or no? If you're in the military, how many knows they issue you a pair of boots? If you've seen every military person there, well, listen to me, they roll up their pants, they tuck them in their boots, and they cinch them up. How many of those that during inspection are looking to see if your boots are clean and shined? Say amen. How many of those there's a preparation there? When it comes to the armaments of God, we need to be prepared and ready to go. This shod with the preparation means this, that we have a covering, but we're ready to get our marching orders. Our feet are ready to do battle. We're ready to march into battle. I asked the first service this, how many have ever had a shopping cart hit you in the back of your heel and put a mark? How many knows that hurts? How many ever had it raked up? And you? How many? Everyone knows what it feels like, true? It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, and you hear that. It's like, oh. From then on, your whole body responds to that area. It's like if you came down, and remember jacks. Remember the jacks, little things, a ball to throw? You know what? Those are nice till you step on them. You step on those puppies, and you know it's like stepping on a Lego or an army man. Whatever it is, you know your whole body responds to that. When it comes to the gospel, to be spiritually prepared, we need to be ready in those arenas. We have our marching orders, true? But our feet are ready to carry us into battle. Because if we have injured feet, we're not going very far. Amen? Well, the enemy knew that, especially when it came to jungle warfare. They knew if they injured somebody, they knew that it took two or three other men to take care of that injured person. And if you were trapped out there, like many times they would have these spikes placed that when your foot went in, it dug in so you couldn't get your foot out. Well, then they would set up an ambush. You try to get your buddy, and they'd ambush you there. How many want to be able to step over every landmine the enemy has? And even if you did step on it, there's such protection that it wouldn't even harm you. Now, how many knows that these boots, listen to me, there's metal plates in there. How many knows those are needed? It's needed to protect those areas so something doesn't penetrate. When it comes to the gospel, to be spiritually prepared, we need to have those on because the best soldier cannot walk with hurt feet. Say amen. These shoes are for protection against the landmines of the enemy. Notice this, the preparation of the gospel of peace. That peace includes this, all prosperity and continual union with God and amongst ourselves. The preparation means a readiness or to make ready. So what it is here, we are ready to go. We're fit, our feet are ready, and we're ready to do marching. Now, it takes preparation. I share with the first service, when my dad got out of the service, my dad continued all the ways of the military. I used to have to roll my socks like they did in the military. My closets was like a footlocker, honestly. My clothes were in order, my socks were rolled, and every haircut I got, my hair was like just the super brush, a super cutter. My dad would go, rah, 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 and that was it. That was my haircut. All through school until I got older. One person asked me, do you get any other haircuts? No, that's the only haircut I get. I get a brush cut every time. My dad would look, if it would touch the ears, you were getting a haircut. That's how I was raised. Say amen. But I noticed my dad did this, is that he would polish his shoes and his boots. Come on. Now there's a spiritual principle there, that when you're not in service or marching, you're getting ready to march. Say amen. How many knows as Christians, we need to be ready to march at any time? That means there's preparation for battle. Having your feet shod for that is like I'm being ready for battle, whether I'm marching or I'm gonna march. Because sooner or later, you got to go into battle. Some of you tomorrow may be encamped right next to the enemy. Say amen. Come on, we're living in a world that has not faith. Well, you know what? You don't know what you're going to face. But there's a readiness there. Each one of us need to be ready. In Psalm 10, verse 17, it says, the Lord heard the desires of the humble. You will prepare their hearts and cause their ear to hear. We need to be bold in the battle. Now, if you're injured in your feet, it's hard to march. Would you agree? Listen, if you've ever sprained your ankle or broke your leg, how many knows that all of a sudden it's slower, whether you're walking with a walker or a crutch or a wheelchair? It's like, I'm not making anything against some struggles, but the truth is that I want to be spiritually prepared. Amen? Now, if there was an inspection and everyone's supposed to have their best on, how many can detect if you're not ready? If everyone had their boots cleaned and shined and you didn't have yours on, you'd be easy to pick out, true? Now think about this. The enemy watches mankind. He's seen Adam. He knows who Noah is. He's watched Abraham. He's watched every great. He's watched Ezekiel and Isaiah. He's seen all those people. Your enemy is smart enough to look and see, are you prepared? He's going to look to see, is there a way I can get into this situation? Because he even tried to do it with Jesus. It says this about Satan, that he could find nothing in him and he had to depart. Isn't that awesome? Could you imagine the frustration of Satan knowing that I can't beat this guy? I'll try to kill him, but I can't beat him. Hallelujah. How many want to be ready? Well, how hard would it be to detect, are you ready? Is your feet shod? Instantly, in one look, you can see, that guy don't have any boots on. If you're going to attack somebody who's not prepared, true? He'll look for those arenas. Listen to me, too many times we place ourselves in areas where we become vulnerable and we don't have to be. That's good preaching. We need to say, you know what, I want to be ready. It's just like this, like having your feet covered in boots, have a readiness about you. I'm going to be ready to go. I'm going to have a ready to march in these arenas. That if the enemy's going to set up some landmines, I'm going to be able to step on them and not get hurt or step over them and miss them altogether. Since Jesus has reconciled the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19, we also need to be committed to that, having the word of reconciliation. I want to see this world come to know Christ, don't you? Well, that's something the enemy hates. And he hates any agent of God who wants to bring life in those arenas. He'll come against what you're doing. That's why the church, of every occupation and every place you'll ever go is one thing the enemy hates more than anything. He hates the body of Christ. That's why he hinders people. That's why he tries to deceive people. He tries to get them off track because he knows you're the only thing on this planet that's standing for what is right. He's got the world. They don't even know they're lost. But when you find him, how many knows that you have something more than the world has? It's a privilege to be saved. Colossians 1:20 says this, and by him to reconcile himself all things, whether things in heaven or things in earth, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. When you have your feet shod, when they're prepared, you can stand firm in those areas. It's like, you know what? I have a readiness about me, but I also have a firm foundation. If you're going to run out in gravel, and you had to march through gravel, would you rather do it in flip-flops or boots? When people say, hey, I don't need the Lord, or I don't need one another, the church, what you're telling me is that you're sufficient in yourself and you need no one else. Every military person needs another military person. There is no spiritual Lone Rangers. You're a part of something greater. Say amen. Amen. When Christians say they don't need that, they're blind and missing it. And believe me, one day they will be caught off and on guard in an area they themselves will become helpless with. We need one another. Sometimes in pride we say we don't need anything. Believe me, that wanes as you get older. Say amen. We need one another. But if I'm the enemy and you have flip-flops on, how many knows that we become an easy target? You're not able to march, nor you're able to run. We shouldn't run from the enemy. We should run to the enemy. Come on. We don't have to be on the defense. We can be on offense. Come on. If I get an attack from him, I have things to prepare for that. But I'm going to have a sword of the Spirit, don't I? I'm going to get to that later. What's the sword for? I mean, it's to do battle. The church just can't stand behind the walls and hope the enemy will leave. We got to take some territory too. Hallelujah. The enemy's upset with Lighthouse Church. There's 10,000 homes we just seeded with the gospel. And the enemy knows them all. How many of that makes you a prime target? Come on, we need to keep on the battle. I'm praying that that seed is watered. I honestly am. I'm praying, Lord, that there's another church, there's another person, there's somebody who works with somebody that's going to water that seed. How many of the Lord can do that? Even if the first encounter was, forget these guys and threw it in the trash, God can bring another witness. Because how many times did we turn away from the Lord before we got it right? God's still working on that. We need to see that watered and God will get the increase. Amen? I shared with us Mark before service. Right now, hear this spiritually. Right now, God is doing a purging in his kingdom. Not that he's upset with anyone, but he's refining things so he can bring increase. So buckle down, strap yourself in, amen? Don't worry about what's moving away. Prepare yourself for battle. Because in these last days, we're going to have to stand strong and sure. And like you, I want to know who's standing with me. Say amen. Come on, we need to be one another in that area. So look spiritually what he's doing. But he's going to pour out like never before. How many want to be bold in the battle? If your toes are exposed, you're not ready. You've been given some boots to wear. That's a preparation to wear. I'm going to be fit. If it's for me, I'm there. I have a readiness to march, and God, I'm going to be ready. And then when I get out there, you know what? It's just what I need. Hallelujah. Every landmine of the enemy, you know, I can step on it or over it. I'm going. They're not hanging somewhere else. Or I'm trying to do battle in my bare feet. That means I'm exposed and naked. Amen? How long are you going to last? Now, as a kid, I ran outside one time without any boots or shoes and bare feet. I ran out and got the mail. By the time I got back, my feet were cold. It's not very smart, is it? How many times have we went out and haven't been prepared? How many times have we shared the gospel and haven't been prepared? Come on. How many of those, there's always preparation. That's what you do ahead of time. I remember as a kid, and sometimes it would annoy me, but my dad would take out boot polish and he would polish his boots. He'd rub leather conditioner in it and they look like brand new every time. If they got scuffed, he would spend that time. And me, I would kick off my tennis shoes and keep going. Amen? But every time he was ready to go, when he would put them on, they were always ready to go. I had to say, they were always shined and they were always clean. Shouldn't we prepare every day too with the gospel? We should leave prepared, but that means before you go out, there's preparation work. Amen? Come on, we need to be ready. That's being prepared in the gospel of peace. If we're not prepared, then we're going to miss opportunities or go out with bare feet. And there the enemy is going to look to try to hurt us. He knows that an injured soldier isn't going to do much. And you didn't expect there to be landmines. He doesn't play fair. Satan does not play fair. He doesn't attack you like an onslaught that you see him coming for miles. Many times it's guerrilla warfare. He'll hide behind things. He'll try to shoot you in the back. He'll do everything he can to get an advantage over you. But if you're ready and prepared, you can start to be ready in those areas. How about this? The preparation in peace. Peace is more than just absence of turmoil. It includes prosperity, includes wholeness of mind. Come on. All that comes with peace. How many want to go into battle prepared with peace, assurity, and prosperity? That means when you get out in the field, you won't have to worry about lack. Jesus said, did you lack anything when you went out? Yeah, the answer is no. When we're preoccupied, we start to think about other things. Then we're not paying attention to the trail, and when you get off the trail is when you get more hurt. A couple of my buddies came back from the war, and they said this. When the trail is well-beaten path, generally it has more traffic on it. Most of the time when you get into trouble is when you go off into an area you've never been before. How many times have we went into areas in our life we shouldn't be here? We shouldn't be doing that. Well, keep on that well-lit path. Keep on that path of righteousness. And everything there you'll be able to expose. And when you become good in the field, you can start to detect that looks unusual. Say amen. I noticed the trip wire. It's camouflaged, but I noticed it's there. You can cut it and help your brother not step on it either. Come on, can we have that, church? It's preparation. You know your warfare. You're ready to go. You have your marching orders. And now you've taken it from the king. Now you're walking it out. All of us need to be spiritually prepared as we go. Is this good? Notice I have truth on like a belt. It's on me. I have righteousness coming. And now my feet are ready to go. I'm now ready to march. And you know what? You can look at my boots. And they're just like your boots, male or female. If you lined us all up, we all look the same. We're all armed the same. The only time you can see that there is when somebody's missing something. Say amen. Come on. We're fit. We're ready to go. I want us to be there as a church. That means what you do privately will matter publicly. Before you come here, be prepared. The service should never be your worship. Only part of your worship. It should never be just your word. It's part of your word. You're ready to go. As your pastor, I have a devotion outside of preaching. I never use the word of God as something, well, Lord, I need a sermon. I need a sermon. Every sermon comes out of the reading. And God illuminates something. Everybody follow that? So it's like, well, have that time. Right now, I'm going through the book of Matthew. I'm almost finished. I'm reading the New Testament. I read the New Testament twice. Then I go back to the Old Testament, read that all the way through till I get done. Then I go back to the New Testament, read that twice. That's my devotion. That's the way my devotion's always been. Amen? But every day, I plug in the Word. And it's amazing. If you could read and not sleep, you could read the whole New Testament in 24 hours. Now, it'd be kind of hard to do. We need sleep. But that's how long it would take. In normal reading, 24 hours. We're without excuse, you guys, if we don't read the Bible. I know there are times it gets dry when you got 10,000 from this tribe and 100,000 from this tribe. Keep going through it. There is an importance there. But it's jammed up in one book, and it's amazing how many know they need to read it but don't. Say amen. Could you imagine going before the Lord and say you lived to be, 80 years old, you got saved at 20. You had 60 years to read one book, and you never read it. What kind of thing would that be before the Lord? What if the commander-in-chief said, you know what, we're going to take that hill. I need you to study that map because there are landmines that are listed in there that you'll see them. You'll know where I'm at, what I'm going to do. What if the whole team goes, we don't need that. We're just going to wing it. How many more would be lost? Is this good preaching? Come on, it's all jammed up into one book. I'm so glad it's in one book. We know this for a fact. If it was written in 70,000 books, okay, open up and bring book 421. I got 36 today. I got 26 today. No, you got one book to jam it up. And now with technology, it makes it so much easier with all without excuse. Amen? Can you imagine standing before the Lord today and be accountable today? You got the book on your phone. Moses didn't have that. You got the book on CDs, or if you want to back it up, you got tapes you want to back it up. You got everything you need. What is your excuse? Can you see how accountable this generation's going to be for the gospel? If we fulfill that obligation, there is no condemnation. But if we walk, just say, well, whatever, we're missing it. When we have everything at our fingertips. Use the technology for His glory, because the enemy's using it for destruction. That's good preaching today. Look at verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith, which is able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. There are two types of shield listed. There's one small one, it's a round one, has two straps on it. It's held over the forearm, it's for hand-to-hand combat. Your faith will help you in hand-to-hand combat. The bigger one is like a thick plank wood. It's metal, and listen to me, it's usually held with a leader. It covers 4.5 feet by 2.5 feet. It's for total protection. And generally, it's saturated heavy with an oil that's non-combustible. So when a dart comes at you, and you have that shield of faith up, it hits that shield and it extinguishes it. If you have to go hand-to-hand combat with the enemy, you have that one right here that can block that area. So you have one for long range, you have one for short range. That's what your faith is able to do. Well, I have the shield of faith on. What that means is that you're walking in faith. It isn't just a piece that I grab in prayer and now I have it on. No, you're in faith. How many knows faith comes by hearing? So if you're not hearing in the Word, you're not building in your faith. Now, how many want to be able to have that? I got my truth on. It's cinching up my clothes. I got righteousness. So now behind the shield, it's protected. I got my feet ready in preparation. And now I got a shield. How many think that's pretty good armor? That is pretty good armor. Because if all of a sudden your faith was a little low and it hit you, if you're walking in righteousness, it still hit that area. Tink. Still hasn't affected my vital organs, my mind and my emotions. The enemy is going to hurl darts of insults to you. He's going to do it. Sometimes it may be as close as your own family. He's going to make you feel inadequate. He's going to speak things about you. He's going to call you evil even though you're good. And it's amazing to me the agents on which he'll use to speak those things. But you got to go, you know what? I'm walking in faith. Close hand to hand as well as distant. Well, if I have a 4 by 4.5 by 2.5 shield and it's protecting my body, what happens if you come next to me? All of a sudden, we got 2 there. Amen? That's almost 9 feet of shield right there alone. What if somebody has another one? Say amen. I mean, that's pretty good covering. Well, if we're together and the enemy tries to shoot an arrow, guess what? It hits that. You may hear the thud, but it goes, tss. Isn't that cool? That's why when you're walking in faith, even the worst insults, you'll hear it. It'll hit, but it's not going to affect. That's why Jesus could have every insult. And believe me, he was ridiculed and spoken. It was unbelievable blasphemy what they spoke in Jesus. Can you imagine the full demonic realm speaking to a holy God, what was coming out of their mouth? I don't think it could be printed and not have it X-rated. That's how detestable it was. Yet he looked at them. I still love them. They don't know what they're doing. They become a mouthpiece for the satanic. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's such a great God. But he knows that if they didn't repent, they'll have to give an account of every idle word. Could you imagine giving an account like this? I'll just use an example. This person, if you be the Christ, you save us too. Oh, isn't this the carpenter's son? Oh, you know what? You do miracles by Satan. Could you imagine somebody giving an account of those words when you're talking? You're saying God and calling him the devil. That's pretty serious stuff, wouldn't it? Aren't you glad God forgives and he forgets? But what happens if you're not walking in faith? You become vulnerable to those attacks. And the enemy's going to look to pierce those areas. He's going to look to hurt you. Well, you know what? You don't have to be hurt. How many want to have some faith? If you read the word, faith will arise. And believe me, you know a whole lot more than you realize. The only time you really realize is when you share with somebody else and it starts to flow out of you and you're going, wow, that was in there. That's a good thing. So open your mouth wide and speak the truth. But your pastor has to spend time in the word too. There's no other formula for it. Oh, I hope you're getting this here. I'm not trying to belabor it. But now picture now I'm walking in faith. I'm sowing the word in. I have a preparation, a readiness. Every day I have a readiness. I'm walking in this battle. I have peace and surety. God's going to take care of it. One of the greatest struggles that every military person has is not so much themselves, it's those they love. When they think about home, if they have a family, they think about their family. And the feeling of helplessness when they know they're dying, they want to make sure the word gets home. Tell them, I love them. They want somebody to carry that word. How many here want to walk with an assurity with Christ that no matter what happens, God is with me. He's going to take care of things I cannot. That gives you such a preparation. That's part of the peace and prosperity. That even in the battle, believe me, we're all crossing the finish line at different times. Amen? Some of us are older, some of us are younger, but that's the finish line. We'll cross that. Unless the Lord raptures us up right together, we're going to cross it at different times. But you finish the race, someday I'm going to finish the race. There's a crown there, but I'm always ready. I'm not going to run in bare feet. That's not prepared. You won't be able to finish like you should, but now I'm going to finish strong. When it comes to faith, when I read the word, Lord, teach me your word. You have the Holy Spirit, which is the greatest teacher ever you could ever have. He will help you. Lord, I don't understand this. Holy Spirit, help me to understand. You'll find that Scripture will explain Scripture. It will. You'll find it. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. He'll expound those things. And believe me, There are some questions that, you know, when we get there, he'll answer. Amen? Some of that stuff we'll map out because we'll know. Well, until what can be revealed is in there. What I need to know is in the book. Now, what if you got the map of the hill and the map of like what was going to go on, where you needed to attack? How many were like, dude, I want that? How many want to grab everybody in your company? Come, let's read this. You do this, you do this, you do this. That's kind of what it's like. When we went on these outreaches, it was strategic outreaches. Yes, there were some areas that we had no clue. There were some subdivisions that weren't even on the map. And there were some places that should have been on the map that weren't even there. Who knows? You know, buildings can come and go. Areas can come and go. But whatever it is, we looked at it, we assessed it. Okay, we need to turn here. We're going there. Amen? We got to keep marching. My faith also grows the same way. I sow it in, then all of a sudden it starts to grow. It starts off like a little mustard seed and soon becomes a tree. It doesn't stop as a tree, it produces fruit. I'll have enough for me to eat and so much to give away. That's how we need to be as Christians. You're fruitful enough to take care of your family and you're like an apple tree, you got so many, you got to have it plucked so somebody else can eat it too. Hallelujah. I want a church like that. We can have what God said. But if you're not walking in faith, you're putting yourself open. I want to have the close armor as well as the distant armor. I want them both. Amen? And then notice the planks and the metal that's embedded in there becomes saturated so full of a heavy oil that you can hold a torch to it and it's still not going to burn. Isn't that cool? That no matter what the enemy brings your way, no matter how he amps up the attack, it's going to hit it. Hallelujah. And you can go, cool. Come on. Because now he's worried. Because now he's given his best shot and you haven't begun to move yet. Hallelujah. I got the sword of the Spirit, baby. That was your best shot. You know what? Didn't do squat. Now I'm going to take you on and chop you up and get rid of you. How many think that puts fear in the enemy's camp? He wants us to be ill-prepared. He wants us to stub our toes. He wants us to be so disorganized and unready that all he's got to do is say, boo, and we run. Or we're injured on the path and we can't even get up. No, if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. Much of the body of Christ is still on the sidelines or in R&R. We need to get back into battle. The Lord spoke a word to me a couple months ago that right now in the kingdom of God, he is trimming things. He is pruning things. He's like, not saying people are bad. That ain't it all. But he's getting his ranks ready. He's starting to refine the ranks. So I'm not surprised when I see some things happen and change and people move and do all this stuff. He's refining the ranks because he knows that I have to pour out my spirit. Hello? And you have to be ready to be ready to be. So he's refining things. Plug yourself in the battle. Have a readiness about you. Because listen, if you're just in rest and relaxation, you're not going to be ready to be called up. God's ready to call up some warriors. I need some intercessors. In the next couple months here, I'm going to have a prayer meeting just for families. That's what we're going to seek the Lord about, praying for families. There are some people that need some rescuing, true? Well, he's going to call some special forces out to go into areas that, you know what, spiritually you've got to chop some jungle down. They're caught in the thickets. Somebody's got to go get them. Amen? And bring them in the path of righteousness. That's not for everyone. But if you're ill-prepared, listen to me, you're never going to be there. But get ready to go. When we're ready, we're all fit. The same God you serve is the same God I serve. The same strength I have is the same strength you have. None of us have super favor at that. We just have it. It's what you do with it. Then I'm going to make sure faith is part of my life. The only way I'm going to have faith is hear his word. Then put the word in there. Put the word in there. You know what? You'll find out your faith will arise. then all of a sudden close combat, you know what? You don't have to run and be weary, walk and not faint. I'm prepared, hallelujah. So that means in your quiet time, you're polishing your boots. I know it takes time. I used to look at my dad and get so like, dude, I don't want to do that. And he'd say, is your shoes polished? No. They're scratched, and then last time I kicked them off. Can the Lord do inspection on our life? Does he have a right to do inspection? Are you in his military? Is he the commander in chief? Then he has a right to do some inspection, whether we like it or not. And he's smart enough to do this, and I've seen him do this. You're not fit for battle. If I stuck you out there, it would destroy your life. So I'm going to set you aside for a time until you get it. Oh, I'm preaching now. No, we can't. That's the same way when it comes to leaders. Ill-prepared leaders cannot lead people into battle. And especially when it comes to the ministry, I'll just speak this the truth. Just because you came out of Bible college doesn't mean you're all that. You got to learn. And one of the things you're going to have to learn, especially when it comes to leadership, is disappointment. You have to learn. Disappointment is part of the package, baby. I'm preaching now. How many want to live it out? Now, I know you're seasoned in this room. You that have some age, we need to teach the younger how to walk, how to be sober, how to live for the Lord, how to walk this out, how to treat other people. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do that, folks. I can't build faith on you. I can give you the word that can add an element, but you got to build your faith up in the Holy Ghost. That means Monday, you know what? Your preparation, get in that word, polish those boots as it were. Prepare. Amen? I'm prepared, I'm ready to go. When I get my orders, I'm what? Ready to go. That also helps attitude. One of the hardest things about military folks is this. They train, nowhere to go. After they train, they want to go somewhere. The stand down is a letdown. Now there's always nervousness with it, but you're ready to go because you're ready. Well, more than ever, God wants our people ready. There's so many seeds that need to be sown. Don't say 4 months, then come the harvest. Look, it's already ripe. We've let the enemy fill the land with so much debris. We've let the enemy fill the land with so many weeds that the seed now is good, but it's been choked. It's time to, Lord, bring a fresh harvest. Amen. It's time to turn over that fallow ground, plant new seed. Hallelujah. Because God ain't playing games with it. He does this. I called. You said you're coming. You didn't. And I came back to my house and I looked and it was empty. Then I compelled him to go out again. Go on over here and here. Go in here. And I came back to my house and there was still room. Then he said this, call the lame, the halt, the blind, the maimed, that my house may be full. Those that were bidden to come said no. So bid them all to come. Hallelujah. Start looking at this world as God's ready to touch hearts like never before. He's pruning, he's separating, he's getting things ready, but the true warriors are beginning to rise up. Rise up, church! Rise up and be that. Prepare yourself for battle. I'm ready to go. That shield of faith is there. Believe me, it's there because I've sowed the word in. I'm not ignorant of the enemy's devices. And now we're going to take the territory. Hallelujah. Don't look at the external. Don't even look to people. Look to your God, what your God is doing. Because I read in Revelation, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord. Joel says, I will pour it upon all flesh. Hallelujah. The last day harvest will be greater than the former days, says the Lord. I'll even restore relationships between kids and parents. Hallelujah. How many of us, God's able to do it? If God reached you, everybody else is easy. Then what it took for you to get saved, somebody sought the Lord for you. It's time for you to seek the Lord. Do this when you pull on your street. Drive down your street. Just drive past your house. Father, move in my block. Move in my area. Amen. I prayed that on the streets I lived on. Lord, give me an opportunity. Then one day I did this. I visited every one of my neighbors. So you know what? I want to invite you to church. I live down the street at the corner. And every time people drove by, they point at the house. There's where that dude lives. Make your blocks accountable for the gospel. Let them know there's hope. And then here's what happened. My neighbor next door got a knock on the door late at night. Oh, there's been a tragedy in my family. Would you pray? How did they know? Because somebody told them, if you need prayer, let it out there. Let people know there's opportunity. Amen? Well, this family got touched. They got saved, and their whole family came to church. Amen. Just by just knocking on the door, hey, if you need prayer, I live down there. Wasn't the biggest thing ever? The feet were ready for it. Amen? Come on, be ready. Be ready in the hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. Hallelujah. Every bride gets herself ready, and you know what the bride does? The bride looks out the window. Is the groom here yet? Is the groom here yet? Is the groom here yet? And while he delayed, many of the party said, Lord, oh, it's just too late. We'll go do this and this and this. And then suddenly the bridegroom came, and the guest says, hey, we don't have oil. Give us some of yours. And the bride said, no, I can't give of my oil to you. Go buy some for yourself. And while they were out getting something else, he came and took his bride home. Hear this. You can't give the oil that's needed for others. That only comes from the source. You can't give salvation to somebody else. That only comes from Jesus. How many understand that? He's saying be filled with God. Because what I can give, I can't give you that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But notice that when people thought, they thought they were ready, they weren't ready at all. How many are looking out the window? He could come today. Amen? Amen? Oh, he could come today. I'm ready to go. Oh, he's delayed a little bit. That's okay. I know he's coming. She's still always ready. Because when a bride puts the dress on, the last thing she wants to do is take it off. Hallelujah? Keep ready to go. When Jesus is looking, guess what? The lamp is going to illuminate the room. That shows that the church is ready to receive the bride. He's not coming to a dark house. He's not coming to a blind place. He's coming to a place that's well lit. Hallelujah. And the people there are occupied and ready to go. Be ready. Thank you, Jesus. I'm ready. Hallelujah. I kind of wish the Lord would just take us during a service. Wouldn't it be cool? And all of a sudden, Jesus finishes the sermon. Wouldn't that be sweet? Yes or no? I have dreams like that. Lord, that's so cool. I don't know when he's going to come, but I do know he's going to come. Amen. And if he doesn't come in our lifetime, that means there's another generation he's still going to reach. Yes. A divine delay always means salvation for others. Yes. Hallelujah. How many want to be ready? Yes. How many want your feet ready to go? That preparation is ready. How many want to have that shield of faith? I'm walking in faith. Yes. Then I challenge you this week. Start your devotion, no matter how you do it, just start one. Just start one. Just start one. He's got it all jammed up in one book. You can read that one book. Amen? Come on, sew it in there. That's putting on that piece of armor, is walking in that biblical faith. Hallelujah. Enjoy this morning. If you would lift your hands towards heaven, I want to bless you. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll meet every need. Lord, you said the preparation of the gospel of peace. That, Lord, within peace is prosperity, soundness of mind. That, Lord, even in the battle, Lord, we can be equipped and be sound with it. That, Lord, we truly, Lord God, want to have our feet covered. That, Lord God, any ambush of the enemy we can see, step through or step on and be unhurt. Father, when it comes to faith, Lord God, it's like a shield. But Lord, you said that we need to have biblical faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. Lord, let us sow in richly your word. That, Lord God, we truly have a diet of it. It becomes our meat and our source. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for a mighty move in this state, in this country. Satan, loose these areas in the name of Jesus. Father, for all the homes we just reached, water them. Send servants by, Lord, whether at work or school or home or on the road. God, get the attention of Michigan in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as you're refining the ranks, Lord, let us take a proper position. Not looking to the left or right, but getting our marching orders for you. Lord, not worried about this or that, but keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher. Because God, I know you're doing a purging today. Lord, we want to be found fit for your kingdom. And Lord, when we're undone and we're undressed, show us. Thank you for your mercy that's kept us safe. Lord, even in the midst of our own laziness or possibly even ignorance, help us. Jesus, we love you. Now bless your people as they go in strength and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you this morning. God bless you. Have a great week. Enjoy this weather. We will see you soon.